From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Brazilians voted in presidential elections over the weekend, and the far-right candidate, Jair Bolsonaro, won a whopping 46% of the vote, with his closest rival, Fernando Haddad of the Workers' Party, bringing in only 29%. Bolsonaro and Haddad will face each other again in a runoff election in 2 weeks, and the right-winger expects to win. Facing pressure to tone down his extremist rhetoric, he said after Sunday's election, "I can't turn into a little peace and love Jair, which would be betraying who I am. I have to keep being the same person." Anticipating winning the runoff, Bolsonaro has already begun talks with lawmakers. Many fear a return to military rule under Bolsonaro in a nation that has been rocked with scandal over the past several years. Today's political landscape in Brazil stands in sharp contrast to the social democratic and pro-worker government of Lula and his Workers' Party. My guest is Maria Luisa Mendonça. She is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights. Welcome to the program, Maria Luisa.
Thank you very much.
So we have been talking to you over many months now as we've seen a right-wing government come into power in Brazil with the incarceration of Lula and the pushing out of Dilma Rousseff. And now we have this moment where this slow-moving coup, if you will, might be finally coming to a culmination. How do you, first of all, explain the rise of Bolsonaro, a man who seemed to become popular after he was stabbed?
Yes. Well, I think that it's important to understand the history, how we got here, especially after the parliamentary coup against President Dilma Rousseff 2 years ago. And after that, we had the accusation against former President Lula of corruption, although there is no evidence against him. They accused him of receiving an apartment in the form of a bribe, but there is no evidence. He doesn't own the apartment. He never spent any time in the apartment. So as part of the parliamentary coup against President Dilma Rousseff, right-wing forces orchestrated a situation where they thought they could win elections finally, because they had not been able to win presidential elections for decades. The Workers' Party had been winning elections. And now what we see is a political vacuum, because actually if Lula was able to run, he would win elections. The polls were indicating that he would win easily. He is still the most popular politician in the country, even though he is in prison. But because of this political vacuum created after the coup, we have now this far-right, openly fascist candidate.
So how is it then that if Lula would have won, his surrogate, Fernando Haddad, seems to be having a very difficult time? He only won 29% of the vote, and the poll, you know, it looks like it's very likely Bolsonaro will win in the runoff. Are voters, do they have a different opinion of Fernando Haddad as they did of Lula?
Well, Fernando Haddad didn't have much time to actually to build a campaign. He decided to run just about a month before the elections, maybe even less than that, because until then we were hoping that Lula was going to be able to run. So the campaign really started just a few weeks ago. And now all the other progressive candidates, at least three other candidates, said that they would support Haddad for the runoff. So that could bring another 20% of the votes. And hopefully in the next few weeks also, Brazilians will have time to get more educated about, you know, Fernando Haddad, his proposals. The media in Brazil sometimes portrayed him as a far-left candidate, which is not true. When he was the mayor of São Paulo, he was, you know, he comes from, he's an educator, he's a professor. So I think, now with time for a real campaign, things might change.
And so I do want to talk about the role of the media, but let's also just stop and explain how dangerous Bolsonaro is. He's been described as anti-LGBT. He's been described as an extremist, a misogynist. Can you give us a fuller picture of who he is? He sounds like Brazil's Donald Trump.
Yes, and I mean, he's openly fascist. Maybe in that way, he's even worse than Donald Trump. Just to give you an example, during the impeachment vote against President Dilma Rousseff, he voted in the name of the person who tortured her during the military dictatorship.
Wow.
Yes. And he has told, for example, another congresswoman that she was too ugly to be raped. And he said that he'd rather have a dead son than a gay son. He said that the police should have the right to kill people. So it's just outrageous that someone who is openly fascist, who talks openly about the time of the military dictatorship, going back to that time, that how that type of discourse could have that appeal, and that's how the media, I think, has an important role to play.
So, what were the ways in which not just traditional media, but I understand even social media fed into and fueled Bolsonaro's rise? Presumably, the 46% of voters that voted for Bolsonaro don't all hold the same views as he does.
Yes, exactly. I just saw an article the other day saying that actually there are hundreds and hundreds of fake accounts being spreading fake news. And in the regular social media like Facebook or Twitter, some of these accounts have been closed, but they are also using WhatsApp, which is more difficult to control. And the
WhatsApp is
studies.
that sort of very popular texting app that a lot of people outside the US use,
Exactly. Yeah, it's very popular in Brazil, and so it's difficult to control that. And this study said that 97% of the news spread by the Bolsonaro campaign were fake news.
Wow. So you have a situation now where he has a commanding lead in the initial election. He's going into the runoff election, and I understand that stocks boosted the Brazilian stock market saw a big bump with the idea that he might be president. He's acting as though he's going to win. How mu what does Bolsonaro represent for the forces of neoliberal capitalism in Brazil?
That's a very good question, very important question. Well, first of all, we talked about social media, but the mainstream media, let's say the neoliberal, conservative mainstream media, also started to treat him, his radical fascist discourse, in a normal way. It started to normalize him. And at
Again,
the
so many
same
analogies with the United States and the election here.
Exactly, very similar. The same way that the media was treating Trump before the elections. Now there is more criticism of him, but at that time, of course, all the mainstream media was promoting him. So a very similar situation. And then, of course, the neoliberal parties, politicians, the neoliberal forces, they also started to support him, which is a very dangerous path, right? Even just to give an example, even The Economist, right, which is a mainstream neoliberal magazine in England, had the front page cover saying that Bolsonaro would be dangerous for Brazil. So at that time, we asked, how are the neoliberals going to react in Brazil, right? But it seems that they're going to embrace Bolsonaro. So the neoliberals were going to embrace fascism, which is very dangerous.
Now, you mentioned what Bolsonaro said about Dilma Rousseff and how he voted in the name of her torturer around the corruption scandal. What are his links to the military? Given Brazil's history with the dictatorship, Is there a very real fear under a Bolsonaro regime, if it does happen, that we could see a sliding back into fascism, into military dictatorship?
Yes, for sure. He was expelled from the army because, he is too extreme, even within certain sectors of the army. But his the candidate for vice president, which is also a military guy, he already said that we should throw the constitution out, which is, the current Brazilian constitution was created in 1988, before almost 30 years of a military dictatorship, and it's almost the first democratic constitution that we have. And he's saying, oh, we should just throw that away and have a small group of people creating a new constitution. So they're talking about going back to dictatorship very openly.
Now, it's not just Bolsonaro himself, right? His entire party, the Social Liberal Party, has been elevated, has had a dramatic increase in the political power that it's managed to grab in a very short period of time. Can you explain how much power it has and how that came to be? Is it the same forces around poor media coverage, fake news, and and everything that's led up to Bolsonaro's rise?
Yes, it is within the same context. I mean, imagine during the impeachment of President Dilma Rousseff, all TV stations were calling for protests against her and were broadcasting those protests live all day long. And then during these 2 years, past 2 years, there have been constant attacks on the PT, on the left, on progressive forces. So it's actually amazing that Lula is still the most popular leader in the country. Even though he's in jail, he's constantly attacked in the media. But that is, of course, within that context, we saw a discourse of hate, of fear being expressed. And then the candidates, they appealed to that, got votes in these elections. At the same time, we increased the number of women, progressive women, in Congress, and the PT also elected new people, younger people, Afro-Brazilians, indigenous people got elected for Congress. So, it's not as bad as we see. So we have also a very huge campaign that Brazilian women started, the Not Him hashtag campaign, that just in a couple of weeks, a Facebook group got more than 4 million
Wow.
participants.
And by not him,
And
of course, him refers to Bolsonaro.
exactly. So, because the thing is that women don't mention his name on social media. The women started to say, well, we don't want to promote his name. So the hashtag not him became huge in Brazil. So, and then a week ago, there were also very large protests led by women against him. So not him. The Not Him campaign, Ele Não, became very popular as well.
So there is a lot of opposition on the ground to what Bolsonaro represents. Now it's a matter of voters showing up at the polls. I understand that tens of millions of Brazilians did not vote on Sunday during the initial election. And unlike the United States, you actually are obliged to vote legally. If you don't vote, you have to explain why you didn't vote, kind of like jury service here in the US. Do you expect Well, first, why did so many not vote? And second, will those non-voters show up during the runoff election and, save Brazil from a Bolsonaro presidency?
I think that about 30 million people didn't vote, and Bolsonaro got about, 40 million votes, and Haddad got
Wow.
almost 30 million votes as well. So almost a third of people who could vote didn't vote. So I think that is because of this idea that politics, it doesn't matter what we do, all politicians
all politicians are corrupt, that is the cynicism, that fascism really grows out of cynicism, a sense that nothing matters, a sense that a fear of not having any hope for the future. So they are taking advantage of that.
Now, you and I had talked a lot on this program about how the current president of Brazil, Michel Temer, who is, basically carrying out the rest of his term as a lame duck president, how he too has been very much under the has been implicated in corruption scandals, and he's represents the right wing in Brazil. I understand that he's going to try to rush through as many of his unpopular policies in the last few months of this year as possible. What is the link between Temer and Bolsonaro, if any?
Yes, I think that what we see now is really neoliberalism or conservative structure adjustment policies embracing fascism. We thought that perhaps the neoliberals in Brazil would raise their voice in opposition to fascism, but that's not what's happening. We have talked about that. Here, that one of the reasons for the impeachment, maybe the main reason, was to implement austerity measures, right? Cuts in social programs, privatization of state companies, to allow, for example, foreign corporations, oil corporations, to explore the offshore oil reserves in Brazil. So the US corporations have a big role, have been playing a big role in undermining democracy. So, and that, of course, just made the situation worse. When the President Dilma, during her administration, unemployment rate was 4%, and now it's 15%. So the economic crisis got worse, but that also allowed for the context that we see now.
Now, Brazil is home to a very large indigenous population. Brazil is home to the Amazon. What do you expect if Bolsonaro becomes president? Will the fate of indigenous communities and of the Amazon rainforest be?
Oh, that's horrible. It's going to be horrible. I mean, he's going to be horrible in every single way you can imagine. He said that indigenous people should not have any right to land, So it's almost like electing him is also giving a way for people to justify the militia groups that already exist in the countryside of Brazil, that the situation, the human rights situation got worse under Temer. Last year, we had more than 70 people killed in the Brazilian countryside, peasants, indigenous people, leaders being killed. And Bolsonaro had said that, he wants to eliminate indigenous communities in the country.
Wow. So, and of course, all of that has big implications, not just for human rights, but also for climate change. So at this point, you have a situation where the most popular politician in the country remains imprisoned. Does Lula have, while all of this is playing out, does Lula have any power? Does he have a bully pulpit from inside prison to urge Brazilians to do the right thing and to stave off what seems to be and what many are expecting to be this right-wing new chapter in the country?
Well, Lula is in solitary confinement, and the Supreme Court did not allow him to give interviews to the press.
So they have him in
So,
isolation to basically silence him.
exactly. And, it's very common that people who are in prison, even drug dealers, give interviews. So, why, the courts are not allowing Lula to give interviews? So even the Supreme Court is implicated in the coup.
Now, Bolsonaro is quite aware of his reputation. He's saying that he's going to rule with, quote, authority, not authoritarianism. Although he was asked to tone down some of his rhetoric, he said he didn't want to. But clearly, there is pressure on him to kind of blunt the edges. Now, the question remains, will he be like Trump has been in the US, refusing to blunt any edges, being just as Trumpian as Trump wants to be? Will Bolsonaro take that same approach if he wins the presidency, or will he try to play, be part of the current structure and fit himself within it?
No, I think we're going to have a much more violent situation in Brazil. Already, we saw now, in the last few days during the campaign, we saw, a woman who was just wearing a red shirt getting beaten up. An artist, a capoeira artist in the state of Bahia, the day of the election, he said that he had voted for the Workers' Party and he got killed in a bar. So, I think we're going to see a situation of severe repression and violence.
And Bolsonaro has expressed open admiration for Trump, right? He's expressed admiration for the things that Trump has done that have been scary. So can you tell us a little bit more about that and what you expect US-Brazil relations to be under a Bolsonaro regime if that comes to pass? I imagine Trump will show him the same love that he has shown other dictators around the world, such as Duterte in the Philippines and Kim Jong-un in North Korea, etc.
Yes, Bolsonaro's son posted a photo together with Steve Bannon on Twitter some weeks ago. And he said that they admired the Trump administration and that Steve Bannon was going to help them with the campaign. So they have been using similar strategies, like a lot of fake news being spread. Bolsonaro also said that he would not accept the result of the elections if he doesn't win. That's very similar to Trump. But I hope that we have also the positive side is that the progressive forces are united for the second round. And so the question is the more mainstream parties, let's say the center or mainstream right-wing parties, are they going to continue in this risky path of supporting fascism, right? So again, we don't know the result yet. I think hopefully, we won't have him as a president because it's going to be a horrible disaster, like a nightmare. So it's difficult even to imagine that situation. It would be a very extreme situation.
So if all of those people who didn't vote in the first round, 30 million of them, joined the 30 million who did vote for the Workers' Party candidate Fernando Haddad in the second round, there could be a decisive victory against Bolsonaro. The question is, why isn't the Workers' Party inspiring more support? What has the Workers' Party gotten wrong in this election? Because just as we see an analogy with the Republicans and Democrats and Trump here in the US, although of course the Republican Party is much more established than Bolsonaro's party, which is a much newer party, but is there an analogy to be made between the missteps of the Democrats and the missteps of the Workers' Party in Brazil?
I think it's different because the Workers' Party suffered a coup, a parliamentary coup, 2 years ago. And we have been seeing constant attacks every day in the media against the Workers' Party, right? Against former President Lula and Dilma. And also, Brazil is a multi-party system. So, in addition to Fernando Haddad, we had two other progressive candidates, one more to the left and one more to the center. And then we had another candidate that used to be with the Green Party, who is considered to be more close to the environmental issues. These three other candidates already announced that they would support Fernando Haddad. So, three other candidates that together maybe will make another between 15 and 20% of the votes, who had that percentage in the first round. And at the same time, the mainstream right-wing parties had a very low percentage of the vote, less than 10%. So, you know, this is how probably it's going to play out in the second round. Hopefully the four progressive candidates together will be able to win.
So you are optimistic?
Well, I'm very scared, of course. It's almost unbelievable that we got where we are. It's difficult for me to believe. But, you know, I also see that there have been mobilizations, but they're not being visible. So Bolsonaro, of course, gets a lot of visibility, but we also see a lot of people against him organizing on the ground. And that is opposition to him as well.
Right. Well, there's only 2 weeks before the runoff election, which I understand is taking place October 28th. Not much time. We will be keeping our eye on this story. Maria Luisa, thank you so much for your work and for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
My guest has been Maria Luisa Mendonça, director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights. And we've been discussing the results of the first round of elections that took place in Brazil on Sunday. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.